About 30 years ago, a movie appeared. It was a fantasy movie, one of those movies that teaches us good lessons. It's technically made for children, but teaches us a lot of lessons also as adults. And the movie was called The Never-Ending Story. Now, the thing that I thought was ironic about The Never-Ending Story is that there was a sequel to it. And I don't quite know if the story never ends why you need a sequel, but that is not what we're going to preach about today. So, but in this movie, the primary bad guy or threat is something called the Nothing, with a capital N, the Nothing. And one character says of the Nothing, a hole would be something. No, it was nothing. And it got bigger and bigger. And then goes on to say, it's the emptiness that's left. It's like a despair destroying the world. Does it ever seem to you, as it does to me, that the nothing is gobbling up the energy and time and creativity and very spirit of the world? We spend so much time and energy and money on things that I just wonder if there's anything substantial in them. I look sometimes at the headlines on the so-called news channels, and much of the airtime is dominated by celebrities who seem to be made of whole cloth. They don't seem to have any actual gift or talent. They've just been sort of created by the media, and then we have to cover everything that they do, right or wrong. And I just don't understand this, that the culture somehow, through the media, through the entertainment industry, I don't know how it happens, we elevate these people. And whether we admire them or not, we're all constantly wanting to hear what they're doing next. I hate to preach against particular people, but Lindsay Lohan, who is that exactly? Paris Hilton. These people make the headlines, and I don't know where they came from. They're just sort of made-up celebrities. The Kardashians have made a career out of being on TV for every minutia, all the minutia of their lives. And ironically, in what is called a reality show, I just don't understand why we spend so much time and energy and airtime on this kind of thing. My current pet peeve is a show that's on cable that's called Marriage at First Sight. And in this new, again, reality show, the couple being married meets for the first time on the day of their wedding. Now, we all complain about these kinds of things that seem so insubstantial and worthless and time-wasting. We all complain about it, but someone is watching, or it wouldn't be on. It seems like the nothing is eating away at a lot of our culture. I've often heard we get the leaders we deserve, and I wonder if we also get the culture we deserve, or the lack thereof, because we settle for something less. And now I wonder, okay, I'm not happy about this. I think something needs to change, but who's going to do something about it? In all the times, the history of God and God's people, God has raised up prophets to warn the people when the nothing threatens to consume everything of significance. Where have all the prophets gone? Our modern society doesn't seem to have them. We have some who self-proclaim as prophets. They're very visible people. They're famous. They're usually rich. But they usually don't really help point us toward the problem. They become part of the problem because we exalt them too instead of God. They don't push us to change because they're benefiting from the system. Where have all the prophets gone? In our reading from Deuteronomy today, we hear that God will raise up a prophet from among you. It begs the question for me, where are the prophets today? And then I think, look around the pews. These are the prophets of today. We are called to do something to point out the nothing. prophecy, this idea of not predicting something, but really pushing the world to change. Prophecy is no longer in the hands of the voice or the words or of one visible and obvious person. Prophecy, pushing the world to change, is in the hands of each of us. We may not want that job. The real job of prophet isn't an enviable one. Prophets usually aren't popular, and we love to be popular. We might have a reluctance, especially if we've grown up in the South. We just might not want to be so impolite as to confront someone. Or we may be afraid that what we think we should proclaim as a prophet, as a change catalyst, might be wrong, so we don't say it. Or we have a lack of confidence at being God's chosen prophet because we know what our lives have been, and so we think, God couldn't use someone like me. It's not a comfortable place to be. Deuteronomy says, if I hear the voice of the Lord my God anymore or ever again see this great fire, I will die. It's a scary job title to have. And we may say that our lives aren't worthy of being entrusted with such a responsibility. We know we've neglected other people, often to our own benefit. We haven't lived as honestly as we think a prophet should act. And as one of my sources said, it is a scary thing to come into God's presence when you know how you've been living. So we have reluctance and embarrassment about pushing back against something, and in part, we don't want to do it because everybody else seems to be okay with it. We have this fear of naming the craziness that has taken hold of us. But we are prophets, and we're called to point out the erosion of our spiritual dimension, to fight against the nothing, to fight against the despair destroying the world. We have to realize that a prophet today will not be expected to wear a camel's hair shirt, eat locusts, and live in the wilderness. The prophet today may live at the reservoir in relative comfort. But our job in this neighborhood, in this time and place, is to stop looking for that character in the camel hair shirt and start seeing ourselves as the ones who will name and fight against the nothing. We prefer to identify one prophet so we know it isn't our job to do, and then send that prophet out to have a powerful experience of God and come back to us in the safety of our non-prophetic lives for that person to tell us what we're supposed to do. We are the prophets today. We are the people who have to have courage in the face of this insubstantial culture to say, I believe in something. I am willing to do more than to rail against the nothing. I am willing to say something unpopular to begin getting someone's attention and to start turning the world toward the something, toward God. How can we do this? We can celebrate substance in people instead of glorifying wealth and fame and superficiality. We can encourage people one to one. We can pray not only generically about the trouble of the world, but in a very specific way, saying, Dear God, tell me what I am supposed to do to begin to change this time and place where I live. It's good to remember as we go about this work that the Hebrew word for prophet, the meaning of it is really uncertain. It could mean one who is called or one who calls. We are the ones called and calling, those of us in the religious community today. We're not supposed to figure out one other person and point at that person and say, there's a prophet. But to look inward to the small role of prophecy that we're called to play. Otherwise, we have to ask, how long will we let it continue, this malaise this nothing that eats away at the something and pushes so many of our neighbors to despair. There's a place in the book of Joshua that says, how much more time are you going to waste before you go and take possession of the country with which Yahweh, God of your ancestors, has given to you? How long before we stop accepting the lowest common denominator and start demanding more of ourselves, our culture, our leaders, our heroes? How long before we take possession of the land and the responsibility of prophecy that God has given us? How much of our life force and potential are we willing to forfeit to go along, saying, what's wrong with this? It's just fine. I don't need any more. Maybe we can do just fine without pushing back against the despair and the mediocrity, but we cannot accomplish God's purposes for ourselves and the world if we don't claim the authority Jesus has given us and search for something higher and better. Prophecy, pushing the world to change, is not in the hands of one person. It's in the hands of each of us. God's work today will not get done if we keep looking for someone else to do it, preferably somebody very visible and clad in a shirt of camel hair and eating locusts, someone very unlike us, for that keeps us safe. God's work will get done if we look around at those in our church community, in our community in general, and give each other the courage to stand up and demand something more, something higher. Only together can we find the courage to say in an audible and confident voice, I'm no longer willing to play along with a corrupt and dehumanizing system, whether it be in politics, economics, religion, social justice, or even entertainment. It's all important. It's time for us, the people of God, to demand that our culture move to a higher plane, to support one another in hearing the immense and overwhelming demands that God makes and determining for each of us, what is this person called to do this day? This world was created by God. It is not intrinsically evil, but it does not always honor God. Someone has to stand up and say that this glorification of the lowest common denominator is not good enough. It is not acceptable. Someone, the someones in these pews, have to stand up and say, I refuse to let the nothing consume the world and leave it in despair. I refuse to let the nothing win. Amen.
Amen. Amen.